it seems like Elijah had to experience some things that, you know, if we have to experience one of those things in our life, we'd consider that, boy, it's terrible. But he had many things that we're going to look at and how we can learn from him and learn from how he looks at things. There were only two other individuals up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, besides the apostles there. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Moses was one, and Elijah was the other. And so even as you look and think in your own life, you don't know how much of an impact your life may have on other people. Moses obviously represented the law, all the law that was given. Elijah represented all the prophets, of all the prophets that could have been listed. Elijah was the one. I mean, even in the last book of the Old Testament, it says that there's one likened unto the prophet of Elijah that will be coming back. And that was that of John the Immerser. And so as we see him, obviously Elijah, in our mind, is one of those guys that's a real standout. But to him, I think he just felt like, why me? Just over and over and over again. And so I will say this, much of this was started and planned with the thoughts of it because of 2020, you know, and where we were at with some of that. Now, hopefully looking forward and forgetting the things that lie behind us as we talked this morning. We'll say this. There's going to be people in here this right now that are going to have hard times this year. There are going to be people that are going to lose loved ones. There may be even loved ones that are here with us that might not be with us in a year from now. We just don't know what is going to happen. That is what is called life. George kind of touched on that this morning in his class, I think it was. And so as we look at this, what's going to be our response? And so we've entitled this message for tonight, "So When the Brook Dries Up." If you know the story of Elijah and many different stories that go with it, then you'll know where we're going. But a passage I want to start off with, and I'll probably start off with every night of this series, that it's not on the board, but we are told in James, I think, some great insight. At least insight I don't want you to forget. Because sometimes I think we think that all these guys in the Bible are superheroes. But James lets us know and reminds us otherwise, at least about Elijah. And so as we look at this series, I hope that you'll consider these things. James chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. Like I said, this verse is not on the board, but I still want to start each lesson with this. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And really, that's the main point I wanted. That's the main focus I want, is that, so you say, well, nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody knows what Elijah gets it, okay? Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. In other words, do you get bummed out? Do you get happy? Do you get frustrated? We're going to look at all of these things in the life of Elijah. But Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. That alone there, as we discuss our prayer life, would be enough to focus on right there for a while. Have we ever prayed a prayer and it came true? It what we were praying for and asking for happened? Have you ever prayed a prayer and the Lord not answer that prayer, right? And so have you ever prayed a prayer and the Lord answer it and you wish he hadn't, right? I think we've been there too. But so he prayed, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. I don't know why this always, but, and we'll discuss it when we get there, when we talk about this, but so it says that cloud, when it first started, was the size of the hand, of a person's hand. Of course, you know, so, and this is my own craziness thinking about it. So have you ever been outside and seen a cloud? And then, you know, mine is like, so was it the size of the hand, or was it, you know, the cloud the size of the hand when you, because that's a big cloud then. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, it's just tiny. But as we look at that, I think the lesson goes farther than just the size of the cloud. But anyway, let's turn in our Bibles then to 1 Kings chapter 17. Gary, I hope I don't stomp on your ground too much that you're talking about tonight. When we get to later on in the chapter, but some things we do need to be reminded of anyway, because Gary mentioned the widow at Zarephath tonight in our talks in there, so we will make mention of that. Anyway, 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. Now Elijah the Tishbite, now do not misread that and say it's Elijah the Tushbite. He never went around biting anybody's tush, okay? Hey, I can tell that story. I got how old was I? I was like 10 or 12 years old, driving home from my neighbor's house playing baseball all day, and come past my neighbor's house and big old sheepdog runs out. And of all the places on my whole body that sheepdog could bite me, guess where it bit me? Right on the tish bite. So don't confuse the tish bite with a tush bite, okay? Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." The word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. And so that's kind of our focus tonight, as we want to look and as we talk about what happens when the brook dries up. So God's providing for you. God's taking care of you. Well, of course he does. I'm a God-fearing individual. I'm a Christian. But do you ever know Christians, maybe yourself, those around us, that sometimes life just stinks for them, it seems, and we've been there ourselves at different times where it's just, you know, things are going good. Yes, God takes care of us. But what I want for us to understand and to realize is even when the brook dries up, guess who's still there? God's still there, and he'll provide, obviously not in ways that we hope. I mean, that would have been very easy there for Elijah to gain, you know, confidence and strength that hey, I'm here, and the Lord's providing for me. Do you remember how long he did that for? How long those ravens came? 40 days? 40 nights? How long did it not rain? 3.5 years. So his struggle was a lot longer than what the provision that came for. But anyway, Elijah had just announced that there would be no rain for over 3 years. No sooner had Elijah spoken to Ahab on behalf of God than God told his prophet to get out of town. I've been told by many preachers that through the years that if you had 7 good sermons and a fast car, that's what you needed to do. Go preach the sermons and then get out of town. Well, apparently Elijah had that same message here. Preach what I want you to preach and then get out of town. He was to go down near Jericho, about a 45-mile hike to the south, and to wait on the east side of the Jordan River by a brook called Cherith. There are two reasons for this departure. First, it was to fulfill the prophecy of God in the lives of the king and the people of Israel. And second, God sent his prophet to the school of the desert to learn some things. Not only to save his life from the sword of Ahab and Jezebel, but also to strengthen his faith in God, who is able to provide all his needs in the time of drought. I will say this, people, and if you've read your Bible enough, and I hope that you know and understand that when there are droughts in our life, it's not always of liquid, of rain. When they talk about a famine, it's not always for food. Those are spiritual references also that are taking place. At this point in his life, as well as ours, we naturally want to say to God, well, how are you going to do that? Right? You wanted me to tell him it's not going to rain for 3.5 years, so how are you going to take care of me? I bet God will provide for me in this way or that way, through this brother or by that sister or even by the church, etc. And many times that's how it does happen. That's how it does take place. But as someone once said, the one predictable characteristic of God is that he is unpredictable. And he'll make things happen and take care of things in ways that we never saw it possible. In the midst of the drought, the Lord led Elijah to a small stream in the rough hills of ancient Moab, known as Jordan. And so I want to talk about this place here for Elijah, and I want for us to kind of imagine in our own minds some places that we might grow or have grown to appreciate like to share. But anyway, and so this section that we're going to look at is entitled A Special Place. A Special Place. So, or as some of us may call it, your happy place, right? Cherith was Elijah's special place. We all, I think, probably have a special place or two or three or four in our minds that we like to go, whether we can actually go there physically or we just go there in our mind. How about where you were at the first time you learned how to ride a bike? Do you remember that? And then the spot where you first wiped out after learning how to ride that bike. Or the place that you met your boyfriend or your girlfriend, depending on or the place where maybe you had your first kiss, or maybe the place where you got slapped in the face for trying to get your first kiss, right? Whichever. Or maybe it was the place where you proposed to your wife, or from the lady's perspective, maybe it was the place where you said yes. We all have a special place or two in our life. Some of the places I like to go, obviously, is there's just something about looking out across the bay there in Traverse City that I just love, looking out there across that. Having been able to go to the Grand Canyon a few years ago, every time you see it come up on a picture in a movie or something, it's just a reminder, a breathtaking place. I have a place up at Widjedidja up there at the campsite where the first thing I do after we get everything all set up is I head off by myself for about a half hour to an hour and just unload up there under there's a couple big trees on the edge of a top of a valley there that is just some place I like to go and get away from it all. So we've all got that special place. So what about what is special about Cherith? Well, I think we kind of are seeing what's special about it to Elijah here right away. Here God supplies water when no one else has water. Here God supplies food when food is at best scarce. Here God supplies bread when bread is also at best scarce. While Elijah is here in Cherith, everything is wonderful. Everything is good. When the bad things are going on around him, see, I'm doing what God wants me to do. Obviously, he's going to make it good for me here. See, that's the attitude that we get many times, that if we're living a good life, then that means I must be doing what God wants, so he's taking care of me. And if somebody's having a bad go of it, or boy, what have they done to make God mad? If that's the vision that you have of God, I pity you. You hear that, church? If that's your vision that you have of God, I pity you. And we need to really talk and discuss other things of what God really is, and leave behind that sad idea that you have of what God is. But isn't it easy, though, to become like Elijah and say, you know what, I've worked hard. I've done what God asked me to do. I presented that message to the people, and if they don't like it, then poo on them, right? And he's enjoying the fruit of his labor, and it's easy for him to sit back and say, you know what, I've been faithful. I've been faithful. I've done what you asked me to do, Lord. Everyone else is having a hard time because of the drought, but not Elijah. Everything doesn't stay wonderful because one day, and you would have thought he would have had to have seen it coming, that brook dries up. That maybe perhaps at first it's flowing pretty rapid. I don't know. But then a couple weeks go by. Well, it's not quite as, you know, white watery as it used to be. It's slowing down. The brook dried up. The ravens didn't show. Elijah went to get a drink. The brook was dry. Everything that Elijah had relied upon was gone. Was God still there? But everything that he relied upon, that he thought mattered, was gone. That can happen in our lives as well. The only one left was who? God. Matthew 5:45 says this, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So when good things are happening to you, does that mean that you're good? Not necessarily. When bad things are happening to you, does that mean that you're bad? No, not necessarily. Because he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. What Elijah needed to be reminded of is something that we need to be reminded of, and that's our next point on the line there, is Elijah was not going to be spared from the drought forever. Right? Think back to March of 2020. And there still may be some out here, you know, about a month and a half ago or so, we had like 65% of our congregation all had the COVID at the same time. And so we look back, you think back to March, one of the phrases that was uttered was not if you get COVID, but when you get COVID. Okay? So if you haven't gotten it yet, consider yourself very fortunate and blessed. But that doesn't mean that you're a super Christian, right? Hal, I know that's what you're thinking, right? I don't want to preach this, because sometimes things I preach, you know, it's like, or when I pray, I hope I get closer to this family. There's things that happen that make us get closer to that family, and so I try to be careful on how you pray. But so if you haven't gotten it, well, then praise the Lord for that. But I will say this, even if you do, that doesn't mean that you're a terrible Christian, right? We kind of get things messed up in our thinking. And did he really think he was going to be spared from this drought forever? I think at one point he probably thought that. That 3.5 years I'm going to sit here and God's going to take care of me. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. We live in a world of sin. Remember that. And we are not immune to the effects of sin. We are not immune to the effects of sin. Remember this, and this is why we do need to learn to be more thankful. Oh, did you have that video? Yeah, so did I. But I just remembered because he said the word grateful in there, that we need to be grateful that for what we do have, when we do have it, and maybe be more thankful at the time, be thankful for the day rather than always looking back and remembering the good old days. I guess what I'm saying is cherries don't last forever. Cherries don't last forever. No place on this earth is going to last forever. That's why we're not shooting for a spot in Traverse Bay or a place in Arizona or a tree in the North Woods. We're shooting for heaven, okay? Because the places here don't last forever. One day the brook will dry up. Perhaps your Cherith is a special friend and that friendship breaks up or that friend passes away. Maybe that your Cherith is a bank account. We know what can happen to those. They can dry up as well. Maybe your Cherith is job security. Well, I'll have this job as long as I want. Really? So be careful. Elijah's security was gone in a day. In a day. So we need to note an important lesson here that comes from this error, or from this discussion and his Cherith disappearing. What do we see about Elijah here? And maybe this is a good reminder for us as well. There was no crying or pouting when the brook dried up. There was no crying or pouting when the brook dried up. There was something better to come. Okay? I'm sure he missed his vacation spot. But he didn't miss God. He stayed with God. It was time to move on. The problem with cherubs is that they help us to become real comfortable. And those places that I've mentioned and those places that are in your mind, why do we like being there? Because they get to be real comfortable. They get to be real comfortable on the body. They get to be probably what we're striving for the most is they get to be real comfortable on the mind. And you don't have some of the stresses of the job or the world around you at those places. And we get to become real comfortable. But stay by the brook too long, and you may love the brook more than you love God. Stay by the brook too long, and you may love the brook more than you love God. Then God gives a nudge and says, it's time to get back to work. It's time to go. God's not against vacation times. God's not against taking a respite. He's not against a rejuvenation period. I mean, matter of fact, many times in scriptures we see that. And we even see Jesus did slipped away from the rest of the world. Now, he did it to get closer to his Father. And if we would do that, we'd be better off as well. But what I'm saying is there is an understanding of taking some time to refresh oneself. What would have happened if he loved his vacation spot more than he did God and decided to stay there? He probably would have cried and ultimately died in self-pity. Not only did he not cry or pout, but if he would have stayed where he was at, others would have suffered. 1 Kings 17, 8 through 16, here's your widow of Zarephath coop, the widow and her son. And the very next place that God brings Elijah is to this widow. And where were they at in their life? They were about to die. They desperately needed Elijah at the time that God sent him there. See, we sit back many times and we say, what a coincidence, right? What a coincidence, the way things happen. You know, the Bible is full of coincidences that take place. One of my favorite coincidences that take place is how in the world did Philip head out tracking across the desert and end up right next to the Ethiopian eunuch the same time he was reading the passage of Scripture that needed to be answered? Who is he talking about, himself or some other man? And Philip says, you know what? I can tell you about that. What a coincidence, right? What a coincidence. What we call many times a coincidence, God calls his plan. His plan. And so others would have suffered if Elijah wouldn't have left his vacation spot. Idolatry would have succeeded. Have you ever stopped to consider this? And as we make this comparison here with Elijah, but maybe in our own life, maybe it's at the workplace, maybe it's somewhere else that something's going, and we see and we think and we're just like, well, I don't know, why does that seem so predominant here? Because you've never stood up against it? Why do they always talk about this? Because you don't stand firm against it? Idolatry would have succeeded. In chapter 18, we read of Elijah, how he took on the 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. In 1 Kings 18:21, the people needed Elijah's ministry and strong challenge to serve God. One guy took on 450. We see before that, it was Elijah versus the prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Ashtoreth before that. But then when it comes to the showdown on Mount Carmel, 450 prophets of Baal show up. And where's Elijah's posse? Where's his crew? Where's all the people that are standing behind him? He's going to have to do it by himself. No wonder he gets that mentality that I'm the only one. But we know that he's not. But at times, you may be. And you have to take that stand. The people needed Elijah's ministry and his strong challenge to choose to serve God. I believe this is when the point where he asks about how long will you hesitate between two opinions? And he gets in there and he's talking to them about where's your God? Is he on a vacation? Which, if you study that out, it's an interesting way of saying, I think your God is off going to the restroom. I've never considered that a vacation, but as we see that, what he's saying is, so where's your God at now? Bring it on. And one man took on 450. And he was more successful because God was on his side. Idolatry would have succeeded. We look back in our own country and we say, well, this is going on and this is going on and this is going on, but I couldn't do anything. I'm just one guy. Elijah and the prophets of Baal. You don't want something to happen? You don't want for this to run? Then let your voice be heard. Shout it out. But I will say this, we need to remember as well, is don't get too down too long. We get excited about things, and we get excited for sometimes, and we're at the top of the mountain, and boy, things are going good. Eventually, you got to come to the other side. But the same thing, we need to remember, and we sometimes forget this, that when we're down at the bottom, we can't stay there forever either. That we may be there, might be time for us to, you know, shed a tear or two, and then we step aside, we pull up our big boy pants, and we move on. And we go on. So don't get too down too long. Remember this, that the same God who has provided in the past can and wants to do so in the future. Even if right now it looks bleak, remember what God has done, and that'll let us know to focus on what He can do. He will take care of us. And then He will use us to minister and serve others. Isn't that exactly what He did with Elijah? He took care of Elijah for a short time, had him at his little resort where he got to recuperate a little bit, but then it's time to go. It's time to go to work. And he had to go face the false gods of Baal and set the example for others to understand they need to be faithful to God. So here's what we need to focus on then as we get to this point. We've established that good things happen, sometimes to bad people. Good things happen to Christians. We've got many blessings to be thankful for. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. We've got some things we'd rather wish that we didn't have to be involved in. But we'll say this. Elijah learned to praise the Lord for the good times. Praise the Lord for the good times. It's been 15 plus years ago or so. I took a class down at Summit, and Jeff Fall was teaching it. And one of the things he listed off like 70 different things that the church needs to do. And the one of the many things that I remember is the church needs to learn to celebrate well. And of course, when I first heard that, I was like, what in the world? What's that got to do? You know what? It's all right for us to be happy about what's going on. And many times I think we hold back. You know, as we said before, the only time we hear, oh, so-and-so became a Christian last week. Oh, how about a woo-hoo! Right? Let's get excited. Why not? The church, we as of anybody have more things to celebrate over than other people do. And yet so many times we as Christians go through this world all frowny-faced and down. But church, we need to learn to celebrate well. Have some fun. Have some times. And you know what? That helps us so that when we do go through the bad times, we got some good things to remember. We've got some good things to remember. So often we forget the blessings of God that when we are faced with some other trial. All of a sudden something bad happens. Maybe it's the death of a loved one, a tragic accident, whatever it may be. We just feel, oh, where's God? And we immediately forget all the good things He's given us in our life. And we focus on that. But don't stay there too long. Don't stay there at the bottom too long. Then praise the Lord for the good times. Take the advice from David's reminder in Psalm 103, verses 2 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, and who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. And as we look at this, you know what? If we look at this and we only focus on the physical things that are mentioned here, we're missing out. We're missing out on this. Because, you know what? There will be those that will die of diseases. He may give us temporary relief here, but ultimately there'll be some that will die of some disease. But you know what? Focus on those spiritual things. He that pardoned all of our iniquities, who has separated our sins as far as the east is from the west, who redeems our life from the pit. We're not just talking about Jeremiah and being pulled from the miry pit. We're talking about the pit of hell and the separation from God. And He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Well, you know what? There's many times on this earth we get people show us love or compassion, and it really doesn't do anything for us. May, for the moment, help out. But wouldn't we much rather have the kindness and compassion of the Lord saying, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Come on in. And so we can look at this, these things. It satisfies the years with good things. Well, what's better than being satisfied for a few years? Being satisfied and taken care of for eternity. And then he says, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. You know, the older eagles can soar just as high as the younger eagles can. The difference is the older ones appreciate the ability to soar and understand now what they're looking at. And as we do that, even in our own life, you know what? We look at these young people and we look at these young couples and we look at them and we say, they've got their whole life ahead of them. But you know what? There ought to be us out here looking and saying, you know what? What we've had so far has been pretty good. And understand and share with them the difference of how we need to look at things. And how does this all happen? By going where God directs. By going where God directs us. We must allow God to direct in our lives. Trusting His guidance as we follow. He will take us places that we've never imagined, and He has more blessings in store for us than as we follow in obedience. So where are we right now? Where are we right now? Are we sitting comfortably along the brook enjoying the blessings of God? Then if you are, then enjoy the time. Praise the Lord for what He's doing in our lives. But with that said, we must realize that there will become a time when that brook's going to dry up and the Lord's going to want you to get to work. So if you're at the point where you can relax a little bit now, then enjoy it. That's been provided by the Lord. But you can't stay there. The brook will dry up. We will be faced with uncertain future. I know we've all been kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheek saying, oh, we get 2020 behind us in 2021. We're looking for a whole new change. Well, what if 2020 is something that in 6 months we're longing we could have went back to? I don't know. Do you know? Do you know? Maybe that'll be the case. Or maybe we're going to be like, woo, I'm glad we're getting back to whatever normal is. Okay? We will be faced with uncertain future unless we are following the one who holds our future. And that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the God of heaven and earth, God of all creation. It is Him that we need to put our faith and our trust in. And there, as we get through and we go through this life of Elijah, I hope that so many times I like to just read the few chapters that are on his life, because I believe there is so much good information for us to learn, for us to focus on, and for us to share with each other as we continue this walk in the Lord. There's a plan of salvation that is given to us. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." It starts with a belief in Him that He is the Son of God, that we must repent. Acts 3:19, "Therefore repent and be converted, so that your sins may be wiped away." Some translations say, repent and return to Him. Come back to Him when we've been separated from Him. Romans 10:9 says to confess Christ, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved. Why is that? Because you're going to follow everything that He says. If you believe it, you're going to do it. 1 Peter 3:21 says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then to be faithful, 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain when it is in the Lord. We may be by the creek, might be resting up, but get ready to go. Get ready to work. Get ready to serve. Never know what the Lord's got in store or when He's going to make it happen. But we as the church need to be ready to go. Will you stand with us as Josh leads us in our song this evening?